Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed, the two musketeers with you this morning. Welcome to the show, Monday, July 31st. We're starting August tomorrow, which means we're in the heat of the summer.
Yes, we are.
And you've got the color to show for it, right?
I know. I accidentally messed, I SPF'd up yesterday. I like sprayed it on, but I just didn't rub it around.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm paying.
You sprayed on the sunscreen.
The SPF, yeah.
Okay, and you went to the beach?
I went to Manhattan Beach. It was beautiful on Saturday, and it was beautiful yesterday too. We went 2 days in a row because it was that pretty.
Yeah, yeah. Were you able to find parking there? Because I can never find parking.
Surprisingly, I like to call it princess parking, which is when you get parking right away.
Right.
We got really good street parking the first day, and then someone gave us their parking pass at King's Harbor.
Really?
Or wherever. Yeah, someone gave us that. And then yesterday, we just got a free one on the street. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's very interesting, because every time I go there, I can never find any parking anywhere.
Well, I try to do the pay it forward
on
thing,
Saturday,
too. Good, it's good karma to give someone your unused parking time.
I see. Okay, so the karma is coming back to you, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes sense to me. Maybe that's why you're getting those princess spots.
Honestly, though, parking is such a it's always like when you're trying to go anywhere in Los Angeles or California, it's like, is there parking?
You know what I mean? It isn't pretty much in many big cities in the world.
Yeah, but at least they have public transportation.
That's
if you
true.
Don't have a car, your other option is Uber. And who wants to pay $50 just to go somewhere that you're going to spend you know?
And then, or you go to a restaurant and there's definitely no parking, so you have to pay $10 for valet or something.
Better public trans would help that.
But would you want to take a bus on a date? I mean, come on, if you go out to
not a bus, but I mean, you know how they, like, not that New York's subway system is anything to be desired for, but there are places, like, even up north in San Francisco, they have better public transportation, and it's clean, and it's safe, and it's quick, and it's, you know,
Everybody complains, as long as we get there.
It doesn't matter. It's all about, you know, in Israel, you take buses. I mean,
take buses, not when you go out on a date or something. I mean, the thing is that, look, when you go out at night, you need a car, and it's hard. But you know what? All I can tell you is this. I've been in several cities around the world. At least LA has a lot of public parking lots. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you have to pay for parking. No, but to stores and stuff, many restaurants.
But even those, like the Whole Foods on Santa Monica and Fairfax, is a nightmare to park there.
I can imagine how they
have to have parking attendants in there just so people don't get into fights, so they can go buy their organic.
Yeah, I know. I always see that at Trader Joe's too. I don't know why that happens.
People are passionate about parking and their organic fruits. Really? You know, don't get in between.
I guess they just don't know how many people they're gonna have to handle at those stores.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad because everyone, when you're pulling into a parking lot everyone, when you're driving, you're the important person. You are the most important person in that, you know, then you have places to go. So fuck everyone else. That's the attitude everyone possesses.
That's true. That's true.
But I do try to let people in. But if I get cut off, I mean, you've pissed me off royally.
Yeah, I know.
And like, how dare you?
I know. But you know what? I also thought about it. I said, you know, if you get pissed, it's only taking poison. When somebody else pisses you off, you know, just kind of
100%, you can't give
because
them that
they don't
power.
Even know, they don't even care. Think about how many incidents you go through driving within an hour. You know,
that's why I was like, you know what, the middle finger doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
I flipped many people off; it doesn't work.
No,
I need one of those marquee signs going across the front of my car that I can just quickly like voice activate, like "fuck off, don't drive."
Right,
you know
everybody's
what I mean?
Like, got those things. Yeah. I know.
Do people have that? Because I want to get. I've never seen it, and I want to create it.
Yeah, like a sign or something,
or just something that I can, like, you know, driving by, if someone cuts me off, I can just be like, "Your mama." You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
exactly. But really, think about it. You know, we're spending too much effort and thought about it. It's just like it's split seconds. It's not the end of the world. Yes, some people will almost cause accidents, but what can you do? You know, I mean, think anybody can get a driver's license. So you get all kinds of people out there, and, you know, many of them not qualified.
I wonder
really to
if
be.
Electric cars will be better for traffic or for
You mean
worse.
Like the self-driving car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My boyfriend yesterday was so irritated driving because bless him, he spends 2 hours a day in the car to get to his commute is 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so 1 hour there, 1 hour back.
Right.
And
that is shitty traffic too,
it's
right?
Hard. It's like the worst kind. Like I think we were talking about that stop and go early on in the morning is the worst for falling asleep behind the wheel and causing accidents. And he was like, I can't wait for self-driving cars. It would prevent the person being slow. And he's probably right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I have read a lot about it. And the thing is this.
But I don't want to rely on a computer. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
That can get hacked. What if someone hacked into the cars and caused us all to go on red lights? You know what I mean? That is a genuine fear of mine.
Yeah, that could be it. But, you know, I mean, the thing is this. Look, it's going to be a different world then. And until all the cars are like that, you're not going to get much benefit from
exactly.
it. Exactly.
You know? How can some be and some not? It needs to be all of them or none of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Because the thing is that when it's self-driving, they're saying if all the cars self-drive and they maintain the same distance without
because it's you against
brakes.
A computer then essentially
without brakes and stuff then the traffic keeps going, you know, but what can you do? It always gets stuck in the same spots every time.
Yeah
but you know people have these problems. I'm telling you again, every place I've lived, big city I lived in, the traffic is like that.
But during rush hour, we have rush hour all day. Find cures for diseases. We can invent incredible things. Why haven't we found a solution to traffic?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, traffic is a very complex thing. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, well, I don't know that there are any solutions. Believe me, you have engineers
flying
working
cars,
on this stuff all day and all night.
Flying cars. Some fly, some drive.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, or jetpacks, you know, jetpacks would be a lot better.
Or how about people just don't work?
Can you imagine if people have to fly cars? I mean, you'll have to get a pilot's license.
No, it's a self-flying car.
Oh, self-flying car.
Self-flying, self-driving. Some people drive, some people fly.
It'll probably happen one day. And
like the Jetsons.
It's going to start with public transportation, you know. Because we had a guest, actually, that developed and built a flying car. And
a spaceship?
No, a flying car.
Yeah.
Just a flying car. And he says in the beginning, it's not going to be people buying it. It's going to be more like companies and then
the government.
They rent it out or whatever. Take people. Yeah. You know what's a funny thing? Did you see that they, on Facebook, they advertise drives to Palm Springs in a Tesla? They call it Tesloop. And so, in other words, if you really want to be in a Tesla, they'll take you in a Tesla to Palm Springs. I think somebody has to drive you, actually.
Just
to be in a Tesla.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to self-drive while you're in it, but people are advertising it. Maybe there's a demand for
it. So, it's like a thing, they'll drive you down to Palm Springs.
In a Tesla.
In a Tesla.
Right.
For like fun, for a deal. For
like I guess, yeah. So you can see you've been in a Tesla, maybe.
You can also go to a Tesla store.
Right.
I've sat in one of them. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, right? I know, they're very nice.
But that's the thing. I'm like, these cars have computers in them.
Right.
How are we, is that okay?
But we have computers in everything today.
I know, but we're not supposed to be on our phones.
Right.
Distracted while driving.
Right.
But then I'm on the other side. I'm like, I think the passenger should have entertainment. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And like, would it be such a distraction if there was a movie playing on my TV? You know, obviously. But
I think there will be.
Yeah, maybe. I think that it's like voice activated, probably all that.
Yeah.
Tesla stuff.
All I can tell you is you got to keep your eyes on the road all the time. I know sometimes I like just a split second I look sideways and then I find myself almost hitting the car ahead of me because it happens so fast.
I think you're only allowed to like take your eye off the road for like 2 seconds, literally. Like you can only like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I know, and text and everything there in the dash will keep your eyes there longer, mm-hmm. and you know, plus your mind is going somewhere else too. So imagine that you're doing 60, 70 miles an hour.
I saw a video of someone videoing a car. They were videoing this car. They're like, this car almost hit me. This person was on their phone, and like as they were filming this person, like it went and hit another car and caused an accident.
Whoa.
Like they watched this person almost hit them, and then they're like, this person's on their phone, like this is ridiculous, and that person slammed into a bunch of cars and got an accident. What an idiot.
I know people are crazy, man. And the thing is that like sometimes on the freeway it's crazy, but you'll be driving 80 miles an hour, then you see brake lights on and you go down to 0 miles an hour in like a split second. So if you don't pay attention, man, you're fucked, you know, especially on these freeways.
Exactly. But like also if you're driving and you see someone who's driving so slow, you're like, why are you not keeping up? They're always on their fucking phones.
Right, right.
It's so annoying.
They don't pay attention. I know.
That's dangerous.
And they're in the fast lane, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, get the fuck off the road, man. You know, people can't handle it. And, you know, I have I think everybody at this point either has a Bluetooth built in or they can buy one. For the car, so you don't have to hold your phone when you're talking.
But it's also, if it's that important, they should call you. You get Bluetooth. You don't need to be texting back your answers right away. It's not an emergency.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, texting is out of the question completely, but talking on
the
phone.
But also, they have it now, so voice activation, so that if you wanted to reply, you can just reply with your voice. You know,
right,
you need
right.
to text. People are dumb.
I never did that, but I think my car can do that. I just never tried it. It's just too complicated, man. Text can wait.
It's true.
Yeah, talking is a different thing. It's like talking to someone in your car. You know, you do that all the time.
I remember when text messaging first came out, my mom was trying to describe it to me. I was in middle school, and I couldn't fathom, like, what? You can send messages through your phone?
Yeah. What did they do in school? I mean, kids don't even have to pass notes anymore. Now there's texting.
I know. I was one of the last people, generations, that passed notes.
Right.
You know what I mean? I got in trouble for it.
It's so funny. I mean, today we don't have to do that anymore. Think how much more sophisticated the students are today, you know? I mean, I bet you they have to take every phone away from the kids before every test.
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember when like iPods were first coming out, and this was before teachers caught on that you could put notes in your iPod.
Your iPod.
So we would be allowed to bring our iPods to class, and some kids who were figured it out and were smarter than the rest of us would put their test question answers on their iPod. So they think they're picking out a song. No, they're just acing the test. I'm just like, why didn't I sit behind this person?
Besides, how can you let someone sit with music in the classroom, you know?
Well, no, they had ear.
So what? Still, I mean, the kid is like sitting in the classroom. They're
some
not supposed
people
to be
work.
Listening
is
to me,
no,
right?
But they're taking a test. Some people like to zone out, put their music in, and it helps them focus. You
right.
know what I mean? They
but,
can't. But also, I was one of those kids that I couldn't take a test in a room with a bunch of people because someone would be tapping on their pens, someone would be ruffling papers, and I'm like, fuck, I can't even concentrate.
You.
I would get so easily distracted. So like something like music to just. You know, it's consistent.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be helpful.
Yeah.
So,
that's true. I don't know what I do as a teacher, but I'm really curious to know what's going on
but
in the schools today.
It's just, you know, because I was never a great test taker. I just wasn't. But I was smart. I could learn the material. But when it came time to, you know, show what you've learned, I would blank. I would get nervous almost.
Yeah, a lot of people are like that, you know?
I mean, who's
like
to say that that's the best way of testing someone's knowledge? I think the best way to test someone's knowledge is to have them try and teach it back to you.
Mm.
Because anyone can learn. There's a difference between learning something and understanding it.
Right.
Anyone can learn anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
That's true.
Who knows? But that's another... another day, another time.
Well, maybe be an educational advisor and bring it up or something.
Yeah, right. Maybe. I don't know if they want me advising anything educationally besides weed. I am the blunt rolling valedictorian.
Yeah, right.
No, I am. I got. Yeah. I was. I participated. I have an event that's really fabulous. Maybe we'll have her on. This woman named Barbie Summer. She puts on this event called the MJU High Dining Events, where it's the last one I did. It was a sushi and doobie rolling event where they had a chef teach you how to roll a joint and roll sushi. I was the opening act, the valedictorian of blunt rolling. And so, yeah, these are the kind of events that I can go and teach people. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Plus,
bring your friends, bring your kids.
Now, I wonder, when you go to donate blood, do they ask you if you take drugs? They probably would take blood from you.
I wouldn't know.
Smoke
I've
weed,
never
right?
done. I've never. Of course.
They would?
I mean, I'm sure they ask you if you...
I mean,
you,
if you have weed in your blood, they're not going to take it.
I'm sure they... the question is, do they ask you? I'm sure they ask you what you've consumed. 100%. I don't think I could donate. I don't think, even if you take prescription medication...
That's what I'm thinking,
blood.
Too, you know? I mean, I'm thinking how many things you can't do if you want to donate blood. I mean, but do they believe you? And what if you do take drugs and you don't tell
I
them?
Think
I
think it's also,
test it.
They test it
they
too,
test
because it's
blood.
Probably a liability thing anyway.
Of course, yeah. They test it. Mm-hmm. Then they go, oh, this person's been getting high on weed for many years. We're not going to use this blood.
Right. Or this, it's amazing. It's probably the best blood they have, honestly.
Yeah, right.
It's true.
Oh, well, cannabis. Tomorrow we're going to have somebody also wanting to talk about it, so we'll invite him to the studio. Of course, as you may, you should have expected, we talk a lot about weed since Rachel got on the show because...
Sorry.
Because there's somebody to share my my passion with.
Well, I think it's good to just... I think it's, you know, I love this show because it's not... focus so much on one thing. There's no central theme other than it's talk radio. It's
right.
Sam and Rachel in the Morning, whatever we are interested in. But I like that, you know, there some days we talk about cannabis and some days we don't.
Right,
know?
Exactly.
I think that's cool.
I think it's very cool, and especially since it's becoming more mainstream, and it seems like everybody and their mother is smoking these days or taking it somehow. And good, yeah, so we need to cover this too. We actually come to us for information about protecting yourself.
Right?
And
well,
all that.
We live in
you
California.
See, yeah.
You know, we, you know.
You see, you live the culture though. I just, you know, use pot just to feel good. But,
I mean,
but
I
you
do,
like the culture, right? You
well,
get involved.
The culture is changing.
Right.
The culture used to be Bob Marley, you know,
yeah,
like
right.
you smoke weed. Exactly. That is what the culture was. And I think, like you said, as the culture becomes more mainstream, and that's what I realized when I've been smoking weed for years since college, since I really got to college and was away from my parents, since I figured out that I actually couldn't die from it. But, I saw that there is, that since the culture is changing, there's a place for women in the industry. And to be honest, I didn't really identify much with the culture. I love, you know, I love Jamaica. I love Bob Marley. I love that culture. And I appreciate that for what it is, but less about smoking weed and more just about the Jamaican people and the culture. Cause I've actually been there. I spent time in Kingston. I did a service type project. I built homes for the poor people. I served the homeless there.
Wow,
the Jamaican
cool.
culture is beautiful. The Jamaican people are fantastic. And they're some of the most beautiful people I've ever met. And weed is, I think, still highly illegal there.
It's
just they, you know, in Rastafarianism, they it's holy to them. So,
to
but
me it is too.
Exactly, to all of us, right? So
the holy place.
But there's but how women are represented in cannabis is not anything that I identify with, and so that's why I kind of when I teamed up with Olivia, she, you know, you look at her and she likes pretty girly things,
and
she has her own little style. So there are women out there. You know, and people like me and you who smoke weed, who may not, you know, want to be a Cheech and Chonger, right?
Yeah, right.
May not
exactly.
want to watch up and smoke. But I mean, I love Cheech and Chong. I love Tommy Chong.
Yeah, they're part of the culture, you know, for sure.
But you're right. I mean, there's some people just smoke weed and don't care. You know, they're Republican, Democrat. They could give a fuck about the culture.
Yeah,
just
that's
like
true.
Smoking
that's
weed.
That's true. Yeah. But, you know, have you ever seen Dazed and Confused? You must have, right?
Of course.
I haven't seen it in a long time, so I don't remember much from it. But I do remember it pretty much represented what it was like in the 70s. And it was cool.
Yeah.
All those vans, those Chevy vans. We'd have water beds in the back. And
I mean, that's a stoner.
Right?
I mean, that's a stoner move of the 70s.
And the vans would have all the snide paint jobs on the outside. You know, everybody would outdo each other.
Like the mystery machine from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah,
honestly,
like that.
I think I would have been great in the 70s.
Yeah.
I would have been fine. I don't need the internet. I probably would have been one of those protesters that gets pictured in history books with her nipples hanging out. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like
that. Feminist, you know?
Maybe you're just a reincarnation of someone that lived in the 70s and died early or something.
Maybe I feel such a connection to that
connection
era
to
of
it,
time.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like I love the John Lennon, Yoko Ono picture of them in there doing the bed-ins.
Right.
Where it's like hair, grow your hair for peace. That's me.
There was a musical called Hair. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of that
I've
one?
I've heard of Hairspray.
No, not Hairspray. Hair. This was like early 70s. And they actually, in every country, they had its own local version. I remember the one in Israel. But the fascinating thing was that everybody was naked on the show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, with pubic hair and, you know, because it was about hair.
Yeah.
It was an American show, but it started here, but it was around the world. So, but anyway, you know the song Let the Sun Shine In and The Age of Aquarius?
Yeah.
That's from Hair.
It's funny because I'm an Aquarius.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're supposed to be at the Age of Aquarius right now, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. So those songs are from there.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated because I was too young to be able to be admitted in.
But I just love that they associate long hair with with the hippie movement.
Right.
You know, like if you have long hair, you must be a hippie.
Mm.
I guess it's true.
Because that's when it started, pretty much, for men to wear long hair.
But I mean, even like in school growing up, because I went to a private Christian school for part of high school, and that you couldn't have long hair. You had to be clean shaven. You had to have hair that couldn't touch, if you were a boy, the collar.
Right.
You know what I mean? So stupid.
I know. It is very stupid.
Taking away personal freedoms, you know, at a young age.
I know. Pretty crazy, man. A lot of things happening. Let's talk about global warming for a second. Not something that I tend to talk about.
Is this the one where it said it was going to rise 2 degrees by 2100? Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And this has been found out by two separate studies using two different methods.
I watched there's a Netflix documentary about coral reefs out right now about the disappearing of like the Great Barrier Reef, and just there's so much that happens in these reefs that most of like a huge percentage of life, you know, relies on these reefs. It must have been the week that I was like PMSing or something, because I cried after I watched this documentary. Like my boyfriend comes in and he just sees me crying, and there's like a movie about, you know, the ocean with the reefs going. He's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "It's the reefs." So yeah, I was like super emotional about it. And even just the temperature of the ocean rising by 1 degree we don't realize how terrible of an impact that has, because these coral reefs are becoming bleached, which is the reef's natural reaction to the temperatures rising. And once they start, when they're bleaching themselves, they're basically dying.
Yeah.
You know, they're protecting themselves. And once they start doing it, there's no way of reversing it. So our reefs are dying across the world.
Yeah. And people don't understand, but I mean, 2 degrees Celsius is really not a lot in the scheme of things. But I guess it's not a lot to us. It affects a lot.
But it's to the ocean. Like there's a whole other world down there. I mean, the ocean is one of the most unexplored places on our planet. That, you know, there are still parts of the ocean we haven't even discovered yet, or even done any research on. But they feel the impact.
Yeah, and not only that, but that's enough warming for glaciers to start melting. So, you know, it just shows you how the Earth and the universe is so balanced by design almost, that if we fuck around with it a little bit, we're going to throw it off.
Well, they're saying but all of this is man, all what's happening is because of man-made
right. But problems. What I'm saying is look how precise everything had to be for life to exist here.
Yeah.
I mean, within two right. degrees.
Right. Mother Nature, it was perfect.
It's
as
perfect,
it. And then we
right?
come in and we're like, let's, you know, right. let's have more cars and, you know, let's put our pollution in the air because we won't have any consequences. Yeah, it's purely man-made problems are causing the global warming. And
yeah, yeah. And but I'm just showing you. And that's why... it's like a balance thing, you know. And, didn't Gore call his book Earth in the Balance or something? Yeah, I think so. One of his first books, Earth in the Balance. And that's what it is. You know, if we're not at a perfect climate,
well,
temperature.
Think about us as humans. They brought that up. They brought this up in the Coral Reef documentary. Like, even if our temperature is perfect at 98.6 degrees, right?
Mm-hmm.
It goes up just 1 degree, 99,
right.
We have a fever.
Fever,
we're
right.
sick.
Right, right.
It's the same thing with the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
we are perfect. We have a perfect, you know, that's how sensitive our oceans are, just as sensitive as we are to
yeah.
being sick.
Mm-hmm. I know, and this is by 2100, you know, so... you don't have to wait until then for shit to get really bad. I mean, if you live in 2050, I'm sure you're already going to feel effects of that, you know?
Well, unfortunately, I'll be probably still here.
You'll be around. Will I? No.
Well.
Let's see.
We'll be podcasting.
In 30
we'll be,
years?
We'll
no,
be,
I don't have
we'll
30
We'll be having
years.
A time.
No,
we'll
I do have 30 years.
Yeah,
I do have.
Got plenty
I, if I
of
live
time.
Till 87.
Oh, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
We're going to still have this show when you're 87, probably
yeah.
talking about the same
Actually,
stuff.
I'll be 90 exactly at the year 2050. Huh. I don't know if I want to get there, but you know what? Look, if I'm still active and everything, that'll
Are
be cool.
Are
you
kidding?
Know?
I saw this woman on the Steve Harvey show. I think she's 80 years old. This woman works, runs 10 miles a day. She
wow.
looks so good.
Really?
She looks half her age. You have to pull
Whoa.
Her up. My goodness. She has the body of like a 30-year-old.
Wow.
All because she takes great care of herself.
Yeah, yeah. You see, it's important, man. It's
and
she,
I was like in shock she was 80 years old.
Yeah.
It all goes to show you how important it is exercise, and we don't put that much emphasis. I mean, we talk about it so much. We always tell you know we have to exercise, but we you know there's certain schools that don't even make time for PE or after you know what I mean like
yeah.
after school programs are being cut of like athletics. You know what I
really?
Mean?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
I mean,
that's interesting because I thought they do it more with music and things like that, but. Any one of those is bad to discontinue. I think.
I mean, you got to teach. I think it's important to teach people how to exercise.
Right.
I mean, and it doesn't have to be one way. It can be, you know, exercise can be fun.
Teach them to like it.
Yeah.
Nobody ever did that for me. For
Man, I used to love PE.
Did
that was
you?
I hated.
Well, we
in
all
class.
Liked PE, yeah, because we hated sitting in class, but. Shit, man! It was
yeah,
a
but
lot
I liked
exertion.
I liked yeah, but I was good at sports and I was competitive and like I was good enough that I had no problem like taking on the boys. You know what I mean? And sometimes
That's
the boys
cool.
would pick me to
yeah.
play on their team. Yeah, it was. I
That's
love PE.
Cool. What high school did you go to in Vegas? Did we talk
I
about
I went
that?
To two different high schools. I went to Bishop Gorman, which is a Catholic school, for 1 year.
Right.
And I only lasted 1 year in Catholic school before I was like, Mom, I simply cannot go here anymore. Just can't
yeah.
handle this.
I remember Gorman. I remember the name.
Yeah, because a yeah. lot of really great athletes come from Bishop Gorman.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Snoop Dogg's son. Not that. I mean, he's a great athlete. He's a good football player. I don't think he continued on. But a lot of really good basketball. They have a great. Every program. Soccer, basketball, football. They all are really good.
Very
men and women.
Yeah.
And then I... And honestly, I think if I had the opportunity to play basketball, my grades, I don't think were that good going in, or like my mom wanted me to get my grades up before she would allow me to participate in sports.
Right.
But I'm sure, I think I would have had a different experience if I had gone in by playing freshman year. I switched schools sophomore, junior, senior, and I played basketball then, and I had a great time, and I played on my high school team, and so after 1 year of going to Catholic school, I went to Lutheran school, which was interesting.
Wow.
I was like
Lutheran
the token
school.
Jewish girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I had so many questions.
I'm sure you did.
I was like in my religion class.
So why
like,
did they send you there?
Because at the time, there was no Jewish high school. I went from going to a, listen to this.
Yeah, culture, but there were, the but ultimate there were culture secular shock. Ones though, rather no. than religious ones.
Oh, well, here's the thing. There was one really good non-religious private high school that my sister went to.
Oh, you're talking about private.
Yeah.
Okay,
my parents
gotcha.
Didn't. My parents chose to send me to private school because the public schools in Vegas are like small towns. I mean, there's like at least 5,000 kids per school. Yeah. I would have been a number, you know? Yeah. So yeah, they sent me to private school, but the private schools that of the options, we didn't have any Jewish
right.
high schools
right.
at the time, which there is now.
Right.
And so obviously like from going to Jewish middle school and elementary school my whole life, pre-K through eighth grade, I was in a Jewish school, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Freshman year, I go to Catholic school, which I'm like, what the fuck?
Catholic school.
Is this,
I mean,
right?
That could be weirder.
It was bizarre.
Right?
I mean, and that was the thing, is these kids had all gone to school together since they were young.
Right.
So here I am showing up with like, no, I didn't know anyone.
Know.
I'm like
who's
the token
Jewish
girl.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Did you get lost? You know? Are you lost? It was an interesting experience.
I'm
and
sure
then,
it was.
And then, but then I went to a more extreme school on the spectrum,
uh-huh.
the Lutheran school, which... I mean, that is a mind fuck. Let
I'm
me tell
sure
you, it was
is.
Great. It was. It, I might have to write something about it, but it's just. I mean, they're nice people. Everyone's nice, but it you know, it's just an through the lens
it's
of
not
a
about
Jewish
niceness,
through the
right?
lens of a Jewish girl. You know, and you're looking around like, what the fuck is going on?
I know. Wow, that's pretty. Yeah, that's interesting.
I had so many questions. I would have to go to religious class.
Yeah.
In one of the classes that they had us take, which was a really cool class, it was comparative religions. No, I'm in this Lutheran school learning about other cultures and other religions, and it's awesome and it's fine, and I'm like fascinated because we're learning about cults and, you know, all different types of Christianity. And then, of course, they get to the Jewish
religion.
Mm-hmm.
And
they handed me a 30-page packet on how to convert a Jewish person to become Lutheran.
Really?
I brought it home to my mom and she's like, mm-mm.
She well, what did she expect sending you to a Lutheran school?
I know, but we don't know. I mean, she doesn't know. She's just as Jewish as I am. We don't know. We
I know,
don't have
but
Lutheran
you gotta
friends.
Know.
I mean, I didn't realize how, that's where I learned about evangelical, you know, what it means to be evangelical and
uh-huh.
bless their hearts, but it
oh
wasn't going to work. But it was cool because I got to learn about a lot of
you did
things.
About different religions and stuff,
but needless to say, I wasn't converting any Jews.
No,
they didn't get me to. Not this
so.
One,
you have you obviously proud of your Jewishness and everything.
I'm not proud. I mean, I love my I love the culture of Judaism. I'm not. I will full disclosure. I'm not religious whatsoever. I'm not.
Right.
I'm not. I don't pray to God. I don't
right.
necessarily.
So you're Jewish by birth?
By birth, of course. I
okay.
went to. I mean. Hello, I'm your typical Jewish girl. I went to Jewish summer camp for years. You know,
right.
like I know all the songs. I went to Hebrew day school for 10 years. I was bat mitzvahed. You
did
know.
You say you've been to Israel too?
I was bat mitzvahed in Israel.
That's
yep.
true. Yeah,
I'm as so, Jewish. I mean, my name is Rachel.
So you're you know? Yeah, you are Jewish.
I am.
Yeah.
But I think I can get a little controversial because. I'm a very liberal Jew.
Right.
You know, I'm
a lot
I'm,
of them are.
I'm
here
for
in
conversation versus, you know, it has to be this way.
Right.
You know, I'm
right.
I have, you know, like we had this conversation. One of my closest friends here is Muslim. I have a lot of Muslim friends.
Oh, I don't think we had that conversation.
Oh, yeah. One of my closest
That's
friends,
cool.
she's Iraqi.
Uh-huh.
I have, you know, and like we've had those like tough conversations, and it's like we're kind of both on the same page. Like our religion, our culture doesn't matter. We're two people who enjoy spending time together. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what life is about. Because at the
right.
end of the day, I'm not going to be
Look,
on my deathbed.
If you share
right.
an ideology and stuff, then you're fine.
Right.
You know, there's no, if it's incompatible, that's when you don't get along. You
right.
know, so it doesn't matter who it is or
right.
what. But and that's one thing about great about America, or at least on the coasts, you have diversity. You mm-hmm. do have people that could be enemies on the other side of the world. They come here and they actually mm-hmm. get along and
but
become
I think,
friends.
And I think that's amazing. Right?
It really is,
yeah.
you know. Because look, if I ran into someone who's a Palestinian here, for example, we probably have more in common.
100%.
Right?
100%.
Then
you guys could be best friends
have, right.
if you just took an element out that at the end of the day,
right,
it doesn't matter.
Because it's the same part of the world, you know, you share a lot of similar cultures.
I think people, if you have such strong enemies with people, you have to take a look at it and think, maybe we have a lot more in common than we think. You know, that's even opposites attract. But I think if you're so like-minded too, you know, that's right, where the clash comes, because you guys agree on more than you think.
Right.
But you focus, we focus so much on what we disagree on. There's no room to find the common ground.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Yeah. But definitely. I mean, I've known awesome Muslim people too. I'm trying to think if currently I know anybody in my circle, but I don't think so. But nevertheless, you know, I mean,
I will say when I was in
and stuff, they're like, they have a lot of things that are similar. If you look at a Muslim family, there's a lot in there that might remind you of a Jewish family.
Of
you
course,
know what I'm saying?
Of course,
the sense of family and everything else.
I remember when we were in Israel, we went to an Arab village and had hummus there, and it was the, I'm not gonna lie, but it was better.
Yeah,
some
yeah.
Of the hummus
but
I
you
had
see, but those are Arab Israelis, you know? Yeah. Those are not Palestinians.
I'm just saying,
know?
Like,
yeah.
I will say
but
they,
the food
they,
is,
oh,
yeah.
They had better hummus. And
they do. I mean, many Israelis go to the Arab restaurants. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And that's the interesting thing also. People don't realize about hummus. It's different in every country. Mm-hmm. You know? Every country makes their hummus different.
Yep.
And you got to try different ones and mm-hmm. see which one you like best, you know. Here, the ones that they market here, is there's only a few, you know.
Yeah.
But there's also the Israeli one, too.
Oh, man, I love, I had never, let me tell you about my experience going to a Glatt kosher market. So I was at my friend Sivan's house, and she had, like, some really good tuna and some really good hummus and some really good Persian cucumbers. I'm like, where do you get this? And I was like, because I never get Whole Food, nothing, none of the, even the expensive white people stores, they're just not good, you know. She's like, you got to go to this Glatt kosher market. And I was like, great, I'm going right after. So I go, and I'm in the car, and I realize I'm wearing these short shorts. Uh-huh. My shoulders are not covered, and I'm like, I need to, you know,
yeah,
need to cover up.
And Glatt kosher is
Orthodox. Oh, they're
going to
know. They're going to know. Yeah. They're going to know. I won't even be allowed through the door. Like, so I like somehow find a long dress that I had in my car, but the problem is that there's a slit that goes all the way up both sides. So my like legs are I'm like, this is the best I can do. I just come from laying out at my friend's house. I walk in, they just knew, you know, they just like, I got eyes from all the women. Uh-huh. And then I finally get in line, and there's this guy behind. He's like, here, take my, please go in front of me. You know, he's clearly married, but he just wants to stare at me or whatever.
Yeah, like, right.
I don't belong. I need to get out of here. I just wanted some tuna and some hummus. But it's true. You got to go where they
to the source.
You got to
right?
go to the source.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you want hummus, go to Middle Eastern market, and you'll get the good ones, you know. But, yeah, but now Ralph's carries a lot of Jewish and Israeli stuff, too,
which
is
amazing.
But
it's not the same.
Well, no, the same brands.
Oh, the same brands,
I mean,
brands,
if you come to the Ralph's here down the street where I live, they have a whole kosher section.
Right. Yeah.
And it's amazing. I mean, olives, pickles from Israel, everything, you know.
I love Mekupelet.
Mekupelet, which is the chocolate.
When I first had Mekupelet, and then Beasley.
Beasley,
I love
about Bamba? Do you like Bamba?
I love Bamba. And it comes in 17 different flavors now.
It used to be just
peanut butter.
Right,
and now
right.
they have, like, you know, different... I know.
Those are Israeli
snacks.
Well,
I grew up... One of my friends from childhood, her name is Sivan, right?
Yeah,
and she lived out in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And she lived in next door to me. And so we would always go over to her house, and they're Israeli, so they would always
right.
have the best Israeli snacks
and
I just
stuff, yeah.
Oh man,
sweets
it tastes like cardboard, but I love it. You know? I love that. I love Trisk. Anything that tastes like cardboard with a little bit of flavor, I'll eat it. I love those snacks.
But it's cardboard. I will tear
up a bag of like pizza Beasley it's the nastiest flavor, but it's so good. It's so good. I love it. I can't stop.
Yeah, I know. So there's stuff in LA from all over the world, you know. That's a nice thing about it.
Yeah, but when I first had Mekupelet, that was life-changing. I had no idea chocolate could taste like
but
that.
You know that they have one that's called Flake by Cadbury, and that's similar.
Yeah, don't care. Mekupelet's the one.
Yeah, but this one is more... because... That other one is kind of a drier version mm-hmm. of it, right? Mekupelet is kind of like a moist chocolate.
Yeah.
And flake is not. So, but nevertheless, you know what it is? It's just chocolate that crumbles when you break it or when you chew into it and stuff. It just falls into many, many pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. But there's some markets here I can send you to. You'll have a field day.
I'll have to prepare my kosher outfit though, because I realize
there's places that are not kosher here.
Oh, I just meant like I have in the to market. Dress. I have to wear.
No,
clothes.
You don't.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I don't want to upset
Israelis
anyone.
Dress like you all the time.
I know, but it depends where you go.
Yeah,
I just don't want to insult anyone.
You're not going to insult anyone. It's just people are going to probably look at you if you go with really shorts like you are wearing today. They might look at you, but they would everywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
But not like that, not in like disgust, like not my husband. No,
I don't think so, no. Where you go where there's like Israelis, not necessarily the glatt kosher
stuff.
Right.
You're right.
No, it's people
like
me.
It's not Israelis. I'm talking, I need to, I'm shopping where the Orthodox women.
So don't go there.
You're right.
Don't go there. I'll send you to a couple places here. It's a normal market, just like a small Ralph's, and everything you ever want is there. You can get a whole box of mekupelet. You know?
That's what I need.
Yeah, that's what you need. We all need a lot of chocolate.
Yeah.
I'm totally a chocolate person. I always have
certain times.
Really? Mm-hmm. I need to have one every day, at least one, two pieces. And I don't eat a lot, you know? That's what people go, you eat chocolate, you don't look like you do. I'm like, how much do you have to eat? Yeah, how much do you have to eat, you know?
That's funny.
Yeah. But some people eat until they finish the package. Whatever it is, and that's how you get fat, I think. And they're talking about overweight people and everything, you know, how it's really, really a problem, you know.
True.
They're talking about ugly people. Now, check this out, okay?
Yeah.
They put ugly in quotation marks, but because I guess ugly is an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a point of view, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying ugly people earn more money, but at what cost? And, you know, they're saying in a culture where we accustomed to beautiful people doing better than anybody, right?
Right.
They're saying that they found that really ugly people, very ugly people, don't do so badly when it comes to pay at the workplace. And so in the survey, those rated very unattractive earned more than any other category. So they call it like an ugliness premium. That at least 3% of the population out earned 50% who are only sort of ugly or just average looking. So, yeah, I mean, you know.
I could be ugly.
So, maybe, well, but what I'm saying about ugly is that maybe, I mean, really ugly people, we're not kidding now, you know you're not.
No, I'm just saying, like, to make more money, I could play up the ugly part.
That's true, right? But I don't know if you can.
No, thank you. That's a compliment.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you're born the way you're born.
I'll still make less, but...
Yeah. But I, you know, many times I think, what if you took an ugly person and really give him like a makeover or
it's
something?
It's called The Swan. Know? They had that show a couple
really?
Of years ago. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
This was like one of the first reality shows. That,
really?
I mean, it wasn't one of the first, but it was one of those like one of the first transformation like reality shows. And what they did is they took like 7 or 8 women. I don't know what the exact number was. And they gave them all plastic surgery and they gave them life coaches and trainers. And what they did was they followed them on this journey of like transformation. And then after like 2 months or whatever, they had the final show. And all of these women had like extensive plastic surgery. You have to pull up the before and after of The Swan, and it's insane. And I think this one girl, Rachel, won. And I mean, she was beautiful after, but I mean, the amount of surgery
But what if we don't talk about surgery? Let's just say someone has a great body, but she's got a terrible face. Okay. And I've seen some women like that, for example. You know, I mean, they can still look sexy. You know, without a pretty face, you know, if they still put some makeup on and stuff. I mean,
but that's the thing is, like, the first impression is your face. That's always going to be
what
people
see. True, but I think you can
see.
Do things with your face, like with makeup and things like that. Especially, at least for women, and with your hair and, you know, and...
But but that's the thing is, like, we live in a society where we feel like we need to look a certain way to be accepted.
Right.
And that was, like... that was the scary part, is these women, I mean, they, by society standards, not by mine, but society's, they were ugly, right. Or that's what they felt that they were. And I didn't think they were all ugly before. I mean, right. Don't get me wrong. I think exercise can do wonders for people. You know, you don't need to do all that plastic surgery if you do, you know, but I'm one of those people where I would never judge someone for wanting to get plastic surgery, because I can understand that I don't feel that way about myself. I mean, there's parts of me where I'm like, if only I had a little bit less here, you know, but again, my problems can get fixed by working out. You know, if I had a nose that I hated, or if there was something that I just despised, I can understand why people would want to get plastic surgery. But at the same time, I also feel sad that they feel they need to change themselves physically in order to be accepted.
Yeah.
And it pains me that we live in that society.
Yeah.
Because we man-made these unrealistic standards of beauty.
Yeah, but beauty is beauty. You know, I mean, the thing is, I think it's almost universal in many ways. I don't know so much about
ugliness.
But
it changes with time,
but
because think about back in the day where if you were overweight, that was considered rich. You were considered wealthy if you were overweight because you could afford to eat money.
Right,
you could
afford but to today's eat. Different. Yeah, today's different, you know. But, I mean, look,
where
you can't
today,
compare.
the less it looks like you've eaten, the prettier you are, apparently. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
So.
But you know what? I mean, the thing is, when you see, like, for example, a beautiful woman, I think most people would agree she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But I think there's like universal.
But it's also when you see a beautiful woman, like oftentimes we get these images on social media and in magazines or whatever.
Not necessarily. I'm just saying, look.
Are you talking about in person?
In person, yeah, in person. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you'd know somebody and everybody would say, oh, she's beautiful. I mean, you can't deny it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. So I think, and then there's average people in between, you know.
It's interesting because I've seen a bunch of articles online about this where they take images of women and people, but from around the world, of what society's images from around the world, what their definition of beauty. So they'll take one image of one girl and then like Photoshop her into what that society, that country.
I've seen that.
And it's really interesting because certain places value curves, certain places,
right.
Like certain places, if you're more pale, you know, it's more beautiful. Whereas
that's
if you,
true.
We're in America, a lot of us strive to be more tan.
Right.
You know, but
right.
If you go to countries where people who have naturally darker skin,
they want to be
more
white.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just
nobody's happy.
Right.
I know.
Maybe the trick is just finding the country where you're considered beautiful and just move there. Right?
Exactly. You know,
go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. That's what they say.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, the thing is, you can't argue with the fact that, let's say, you look at pole dancing, for example, okay? Mm-hmm. And some people that are against body shaming will put like those videos of these overweight women doing pole dancing. Now, I don't know who thinks it might look good, but it doesn't look sexy, like if you had a really sexy woman doing this.
But you
and
will
it,
find
it looks, it
there are men who like that, the curvy look.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not talking about curvy. I'm talking about obese.
Some men like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even on a
there's
pole
a community
dance?
Called okay. Chubby Chasers.
Right.
They love big women.
Yeah.
There is a.
Oh, wow.
There is a.
So to them, that would be sexy. So it's just me.
Of course.
So it's just me.
Well,
okay.
I mean, you're speaking from
concept,
what you're.
Yeah.
Yeah. From probably what a lot of men, what a high percentage of men would probably agree with you. But there are right. men out there who just, and they're not ashamed to admit it. And some of them are because of society's beauty standards that
right.
they like bigger women.
Right.
And
right.
there's nothing wrong with that because big right. women need love too. And
yeah.
They're beautiful.
No, that's true. That's true. But, you know, it's not as easy doing a pole dance when you're overweight.
You know what, though?
Not overweight, but
I will. I respect women who still do it.
Do it?
Yeah, fuck
okay,
yeah.
Okay, but not in public. Come on, you know?
Just
I don't know.
Who you. If it makes you happy, just do it.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and we only have a minute left, but when I was in Lake Tahoe a couple weeks ago, there was this woman there. And, you know, she had a big ass that looked like a popcorn bag. And my question is, It didn't, and she wears like a string bikini, and this gets a lot of attention on the beach. This gets a lot of attention, mm-hmm. but I don't know.
What's your question?
My question is, do you think, well, I guess it is cool for her to do it if she's okay with it, right?
I am not one to be like, there are some women out there who will be like, she shouldn't be wearing that.
Right.
To me, it's like, fuck, wear whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. I think that comes from me being raised by people who've always tried to tell me what to do. And right. I'm such a supporter of do what makes you happy.
Right.
Regardless of how it makes other people feel, as long as you're not physically hurting someone
right.
or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Always do what makes you happy.
I guess, look, if she doesn't care,
life
who
is
cares,
too
right?
short to
That's
try
true.
To
she
please
wants to
other
be in a
people.
Bikini mm-hmm. and let her. All right, on that note, folks, Rachel, thank you as always.
Always.
Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll be back here tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.